Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, we got just you and me this week, friends. We'll get to the grab a pencil portion of the show, along with a bonus question involving a podcast I listen to quite regularly, every week whenever possible. But first, just a friendly reminder that we're not in summer blockbuster season quite yet, even though Doctor Strange is out. But don't forget, you have films like Happening, Petite Maman, The Duke, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and The Northman. All of those are at Keystone Arts, including Doctor Strange. So, but the titles I'd mentioned, I talked about Happening and probably the unfortunate good timing for the film because of Roe versus Wade and being in the topic of discussion. Petite Maman, really lovely child performances. Duke, really lovely old people performances from Jim Broadbent and Helen Mirren. Everything Everywhere All at Once, still one of the best films of the year so far. And if you're a fan of Hamlet, The Northman, it's over there, so just pointing that out. Opening in theaters, and this is apparently exclusive at the Can-Can, and kudos on them for getting this. And the film Memoria, with Tilda Swinton as a woman who is obsessed with the sound that she keeps hearing throughout her days, I should say. And I'm going to warn you on this one. This film isn't for everyone, and that's okay. But a one woman's obsession with sound that keeps her from sleeping, and she gets a sound engineer to help her out, and it's a hypnotic, meditative type of film to watch. So don't go in with a Friday. Don't start your weekend with it, I guess I should say. It's from, I'm not pronouncing the director's name. I'm not going to butcher that. Sorry, Oh, that's right. Thank you, AV Club. The Thai filmmaker, affectionately known for the cinephile, simply as Joe. Yes, reading off the internet. Welcome to Film Sociology. Anyway, as Swinton's character goes from parts of the world, this sound keeps happening in her head. Or is it happening? This is, I mentioned, a hypnotic, meditative, you got to stick with it film. It's if you're a fan of The Lobster or The Killing of a Sacred Deer, it's that quiet, one-level tone. But the sound in this film, see it in the theater. Emma and I got to watch it at home, and it was still pretty cool. But to go to a theater with really, really good sound, it's like listening to an album. If you put the headphones on and put on some Floyd, that's what this film is like. There is a little moment near the end, I want to give it away, that may wrinkle your eyebrow, wrinkle your brow a bit. But I didn't mind going there with this film. Swinton is one that she can, just her face is a story in and of itself. So to watch her go through this, she develops a relationship in the second half of the film. Again, don't want to give it away. But a unique film. This is the film I like to mention. If people gripe about the sequels and remakes and I would recommend Memoria, and they would still go, no, I don't want to see this either. It's too convoluted. It's not convoluted, I should say. It's just a tone. It's an attitude. It's a happening. It's their happening, and it might freak you out. So look for Memoria. It's at exclusively in town at the Can-Can. They also have Vortex, Fly, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and Petite Maman. So you got some good choices there if you want to stay away from the blockbusters. So I mentioned where all of those were happening. And over at the Historic Art Craft Theater on Friday the 13th, 7:30 p.m. if you're listening to this, and right away, I should say. And then Saturday, May 14th at 2 and 7:30 p.m., Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. On Friday and Saturday, May 20th and 21st, I'm impressed with this one. The original 1957 310 to Yuma. With Van Heflin and Glenn Ford. It is a 35mm print, so kudos to them. I have it on Criterion. May 27th to 28th, Friday and Saturday, 2 and 7:30 p.m., Clue. Don't know which ending they're showing. June 3rd and 4th, 2 and 7:30 p.m., Big Trouble in Little China. And Tuesday, June 7th at 10 a.m. is a part of the Summer Break series, Scooby-Doo, at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin. So go check that out. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Want to get to a couple of video titles I watched recently, and then we'll get to the grab a pencil. And bonus question. Also, in a way, now it's, are you reading the posts I put on Facebook and Twitter? So new on video from Film Movement is a drama called Love Cut from it's a Swiss-Austrian co-production, and it tells the lives of three different teenage couples. And I have to admit, early on in the film, I started getting flashbacks to the first time I saw the Larry Clark film Kids. I was 25 and had my first job. And I think this was one I just did not want to live in the world with these kids, with these people, with these young people. It's another one I don't know. We're gonna dip back into my 20s for a moment. I think I didn't want to see stories by younger people because I had already gone through that. If that makes sense. Dazed and Confused is another one I need to revisit. Slacker is another one I need to revisit. And I just, kids just left a sour taste. And I'm happy to say that with Love Cut, it doesn't. It does get better. We have a couple who wind up making some fairly racy videos on the internet, and they find out that they can make money off of this. We have another couple who go out, who meet online, and then they wind up staying at his place. She brings a third wheel just to be safe. We find out he's got his own issues, being on probation, and he has a thing for stealing vehicles. Anyway, as the story goes on, we see what looks like the selfie crowd and the party crowd, and we find out they want a little more than just that, and what happens when one person wants a relationship to go a little further, to become more serious, to become more commitment. As I wrote in my notes, it starts frivolous and then emotions get in the way. So that was cool. And so you near the end, well, actually about halfway through or a third of the way through, you really start to care for these young crazy kids, says the 50-something man. So, but yeah, it turned out to be better than I thought. Yes, better than Kids, if you want to put that in the ad campaign. But yeah, from Film Movement, Love Cut, now out on video. From Film Movement Classics, and man, I was really excited to know that this film was going to get a release on Blu-ray and DVD. It's a film called Pushing Hands. This was the feature film debut from Ang Lee. And it's a story of an aging Tai Chi master adjusting to life in New York State, forced to live with his son and his work-at-home wife. And seeing Mr. Chu practicing Tai Chi in a house. I think we're used to seeing it, obviously, out in a park or out in a yard, out where there's open green space, and he's forced to do his craft inside a house while somebody's trying to work. The dynamic between the daughter-in-law and him is a little strayed. More on her part. He mostly lets things slide off his back. He has to listen to he has to watch TV with headphones. And it's the old man is Xuing Lung, who I remember was in some other Ang Lee films, The Wedding Banquet, and he was the father in Eat, Drink, Man, Woman. And he was Sirte in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Really nice performance from him and everybody. Deb Snyder plays the daughter-in-law. And along the way, he winds up teaching Tai Chi at a school. There is a meet-cute with another older woman that is to his age, like I said, to his age level. And she's doing a cooking class. And it gets to be borderline silly, but stays in there. And what I learned about Ang Lee films very early on is no matter what the film it is, and you look at his filmography, pretty diverse-looking films, but they're all in one way, shape, or form about outsiders. If you think about the family in Sense and Sensibility, you think about Hulk, you think about the aging fighters in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, the cowboys, of course, in Brokeback Mountain. And this one is another outsider. He, stuck at his son's house while trying to be a grandfather and practice Tai Chi and trying to move on with his life. So really lovely work. This is from 1991, and I remember hearing about The Wedding Banquet. I saw The Wedding Banquet in, of all places, a two-screen mall theater in Anderson, Indiana. I don't know how it got it. I don't know why I got it. I think the other film was The Good Son, the Macaulay Culkin thriller. But it was just one of those random moments. We all have seen independent films in unlikely places, and that's one of my favorite stories was, wow, I remember driving from Muncie to Anderson to go see The Wedding Banquet, and has been an Ang Lee fan ever since. So, yeah, Pushing Hands is now out on Film Movement Classics. And also on Film Movement, an academic punch to the gut known as Playground. We have the story of two young siblings, Nora, 7-year-old Nora, and her older brother, Abel. Abel is getting bullied at school. And it shows, there's more than one person has said, it's not a playground, it's a battlefield. Hi, Pat Benatar. And the older brother is getting bullied pretty hard. She tries to intervene. He says don't interfere and don't tell anybody. So we get a lot of camera shots from behind Nora. It reminded me of Darren Aronofsky's The Wrestler. Instead of following Mickey Rourke through many hallways, which before he goes to his life arena, we get a camera down at Nora's level behind her. So we can see her going through this maze, this battlefield of elementary school. And it just keeps getting worse and worse as the year goes on, so much so that eventually the brother becomes a bully himself. And that's not really giving away anything. This is really heartbreaking to watch. And fortunately, only about 72 minutes. But really nice performances from the two families. And anybody who has been to school and remembers this, whether you were a victim or a bully or not, what happens when the teachers don't help out? What happens when a parent interferes? Remember, for as kids, your parents talking to somebody who was making fun of you was like the kiss of death. All of that comes up. This is... If you remember Welcome to the Dollhouse, although this is not a dark comedy, it has that dread feeling, and you thank God you're not in school anymore. And that's definitely the case with Playground. So look for Playground on Film Movement. Quite a strong trio from Film Movement this week. So thank you much to them. All right, friends, before grabbing a pencil, there's a couple podcasts I want to talk about. Golden Globus Theater, these two podcasts kind of sums up my film taste. If you see the pictures, if you see the Film Sociology promotional photo of yours truly, I'm holding two videos, and I think the old one is DVD and the new one is Blu-ray. But the old one and the one video The one film is Akira Kurosawa's Rashomon, and the other is Blackula. And that kind of sums up my taste as far as I'll watch this and I'll watch that. And that's kind of like with these two podcasts, Golden Globus Theater and You Must Remember This. And this week, Golden Globus Theater has the Dallas Connection, a film by Andy Sedaris. And yes, I own some Andy Sedaris on Blu-ray. It was sent to me. I'm not proud. I don't care. So there's that. And of course, the other recent episodes, the two versions of The Mechanic, the superior version with Charles Bronson and that other one with Jason Statham. So anyway, that's Golden Globus Theater. And You Must Remember This, who are in part six of Erotic 80s. She's doing, Karina Longworth, the host, is doing a couple of films every year of the 1980s. This week it's Flashdance and Risky Business. Last week was the discussion of Porky's and Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Last American Virgin, and the teen sex comedies that came out then. I was 12, turning 13 in 1982, so I was the core audience for that. And, man, yeah, it's revisiting these, and I've seen a number of these films in the theater as well, by the way. So, but one of the things that was brought up was the Porky's, which Ms. Longworth, an unpleasant experience for her to watch it, and I understand that. I remember seeing Porky's, again, in the theater, full house, mostly guys, and man, we thought it was the funniest thing. So, but it was also the talk of the rating system, and, you know, some of these films were an X, and they had this, you know, slice and edit down to an R. And there were still kids getting into R-rated films at that time. So the question became, and that's what I asked on this week's show, is if you are of a certain age, like I am, had you ever been turned away from an R-rated film? And the story I have is growing up in Flint, Michigan, I won on a radio contest a pass to go see the Richard Gere version of Breathless, the stuff you win on radio, friends. And I was probably 13, so my brother was 19, and my brother Tim was going to take me to the theater, and we got turned away. This was the showcase, was that? The sixth screener outside on the outskirts of town, and got turned away. I was kind of stunned. And then, like a few days later, my mother took me, and yeah, I saw a Richard Gere movie with my mom. That happens. But this was also, and eventually, of course, is depending on the crack theater staff, basically teenagers in early 20s, and how much were they going to enforce the R rating for young people, or were they just going to take your money? And I wound up seeing other films as I got older, especially when I was able to drive. And I think that's the other part, is when you're old enough to drive to the theater by yourself. And I've looked back now as with old eyes that, you know, could be 15, could be 19. I can't tell. I'm terrible about ages. Yeah, two tickets, that sort of thing. So this week, besides finding out what films you watched recently, I asked the question, have you ever been rejected from R-rated movies when you were a kid? And we start on Twitter with Darren, who writes, yeah, we were denied Escape from New York, which in retrospect was barely an R. However, we grew Peach Fudge's mustaches and slid right in the Porky's 4 months later without a second glance. See, this is a great example of that. And Darren, I don't know. I mean, there's some violent stuff in Escape from New York, so maybe not by today's standards, but no, I that's a good call. That's exactly what I'm talking about here at Film Sociology. Thank you, Darren. We go back to Facebook and last week's thing because, you know, Zuckerberg. We start with Anthony, who writes The Adjustment Bureau and Looper. Ken writes Wild Target. John just writes, I just saw this. Thanks, Zuck. I know. He runs things. Evan Dossey, Matrix Reloaded. Weirdly, I had already seen it at least once. Oh, yes. Melissa writes, no. And I asked the question and... you know, I guess some folks just say, no, that's never happened to me. No, and I watched a documentary about the perfect bidder on The Price is Right this week because I'm literally burning. Okay, hope you're not burning. Get some aloe. Jed writes, watched the new film, The Spider Movie, last night and really enjoyed it. Highly recommended for any horror fan. I've only been turned down for video game purchases. My mom wouldn't drive me to a theater and try to get into an R film. Well, your mom, that's what your mom's for. It's really okay. I understand that, Jed. Nick Rogers writes, the closest I ever came with the same friend was Cliffhanger and Bad Boys, especially weird on the latter because we were 15. But adults who overheard the guff given to us by the box office clerk agreed to be our quote-unquote guardians. I never did that, Nick. I didn't have the guts to ask some random adult to let me go into a movie or get, you know, be my guardian for a movie. I didn't have that bravery. Nick also saw Doctor Strange, Jackass Forever, The Lost City, and Cow. Aaron writes, I don't remember specifically being turned away ever, but we did buy tickets to a different movie in order to see Scream 3. And There's Something About Mary. I never did that. I never did. If I went to a movie, I was going to go see. I was always afraid I was going to be the one who got caught. Just walk around like you belong there. Or clipboarding yellow vest. All right. Eric writes, watched a double feature of the original Jurassic Park and its sequel, plus John Ford's final film, the much maligned but actually pretty good Seven Women, 1966, with the great Anne Bancroft. And then he adds, I wasn't turned away, but my cousin was when I took him and several of his friends to see The Godfather. Adding insult to injury, they let his younger brother in. He consoled himself by going next door to see The Getaway. Around the same time, my girlfriend was turned away from Lady Sings the Blues, and we had to find another movie. I don't remember what it was. That happens, Eric. Thank you. We appreciate your contribution. Erica writes, no, because by the time I was old enough for my parents to just drop me off at a movie theater, multiplexes were a thing. I was smart enough to buy a ticket for X, then sneak into Y, which is what my friends and I did when Beverly Hills Cop came out. Bought tickets for The River. Wow, Chief. Okay. Slightly off topic, but not. My mother actually took me to see an R-rated movie when I was only 7 because I begged. The film was Little Darlings with Tatum O'Neill and Chrissy McNichol. They were idols of mine. I don't think it did any permanent damage. Good call there, Eric. That's another one I need to revisit. I'm going to borrow a story from my wife. Hello, Lynn. Thank you for letting me call you Mrs. Sosie on the radio. In 1969, I will not give her age. Her father, my father-in-law, Bill Skypoint, acted in a production of a stage version of Cactus Flower. And Lynn worked backstage on it, and it was a dad-daughter afternoon at the movies. And the woman at the, apparently older woman at the box office, suggested this not be a good film to take his little girl to. And he said it was fine. She reiterated her concern. And eventually my father-in-law said, look, we just did the show. She knows what's going on. Give me my ticket. So way to go, Bill. Always like that story. My wife tells it better. Okay, Daniel writes, no, I've never been turned down to see a movie, but as a child, I did go to movies with my sister that were adult for a child, and maybe a few of them were R-rated. As far as his films watching this week, Funny Girl and West Side Story 2021. Yeah, that's what siblings are for sometimes. Catherine writes, The Lost City. Erica chimes in, films watched this week. The Last of Sheila, Damsel in Distress, Blood Theater, Rift, The Barefoot Executive, The Mystery Science Theater Treatment of King Dinosaur, and You'll Never See Me Again, a TV movie from 1973. Thank you, Chief. Doug writes, Bob Le Flambeur, pardon my French, and three more from Hitchcock, of The Pleasure Garden, Saboteur, and Dial M for Murder. I don't think I ever tried to get into an R-rated movie before when I was old enough. I think my first one was, of all things, 10 from 1979. Nice tie-in, Doug. 10 is discussed in the first episode of Erotic 80s on the podcast You Must Remember This. So go check that out. Fun stuff. I also saw Tent. I had a Bo Derek poster on my wall. Not a surprise there. Rebecca writes, finally watched Palm Springs. I also rewatched An Evening with Beverly Loughlin. Tammy writes, when I was 15, my friend and I were turned away at Saturday Night Fever, and we went back the next weekend, each with a face full of Maybelline, and made it in. Wow. Yeah, that, well, we couldn't do that as guys. Not, well, you could. And I remember that Saturday Night Fever and Animal House were so popular. They were so huge. They released a PG version to get more money. I always remember, and the scene that comes up the most, because they did the dubbing already for television. But in Saturday Night Fever, when the guys look like they're jumping off the bridge and Donna Pascal runs to the edge of the bridge and yells, "You fakers." Because it was going to be shown on network television eventually. So, you know, smart move on them. So anyway, I'm glad you got to see the original Saturday Night Fever of Tammy with a face full of Maybelline. And don't forget, friends, Tony Manero is a rotten human being. He's a miserable human being who becomes less miserable by the end of Saturday Night Fever. Don't forget that. I think people just remember the dancing and that's it. So there you go. Lou Harry writes, Avante and King of the Newsboys. Eric writes, First Blood, The Conversation. I don't recall being turned away from R-rated movies. That may be because I'm pre-code. You're not that old, Eric. Ha ha. Thank you. David writes, my friends and I tried to see Airplane simply because we heard a rumor of a topless woman running, dancing across the screen. Hashtag denied. Huh, did you win? Well, PG, so there's that. That's another gray area as far as the rating system and the crack multiplex staff. Missy writes, restarted The Sopranos and Doctor Strange. Manny writes, the South Park movie. And I was carded for two NC-17 movies and maybe should have been when I saw Short Bus. But the Key Cinemas guy didn't care. I was in college. Thank you, Manny. That's another part, isn't it? You're in college now. Abby writes, not so much turned away as my parents didn't allow it for a long time. Well, that's a different topic, Abby, but I'll read it still. Most of my pocket money went to my theater and band activities, and at home I was largely subjected to, if the youngest kids couldn't watch it, it wasn't allowed where they could possibly walk in. Oh my God. When we eventually upgraded the main TV and the older one went in the basement, this was softened to being allowed to watch certain movies, mom still had final say, as long as I didn't block my kid sis from doing what she wanted to do. The computer was in the basement as well, and the game closet was set up by the main TV. Needless to say, it didn't take my kid sis long to figure out that if she periodically walked across, wanted access to certain things, it meant I had to pick up and move the other TV each time. Wow. Diana writes, Woman at War. And then I don't recall the movie. That was the film that she watched. And now her bonus question. I don't recall the movie, but I recall my friend pleading / flirting with the guy at the mall selling the R-rated movie tickets. Oh, geez. And thanks for your continued public radio goodness. Thank you, Diana. Yeah, May 9th was my work anniversary here at WFYI. 23 years. 23 years of bringing public radio goodness. I'm proud of that. Thank you very much to everybody for listening and to my staff and to my coworkers for letting me act like I own the place from time to time. And no signs of slowing down, unless this cough kills me. So, it's springtime, friends. Allergies are coming about to lurk. They're outside the recording studio. I can sense it. All right, back to the list. Robert Muggy. Hey, Robert. He writes, They Drive by Night, Raoul Walsh, The Man I Love, also Raoul Walsh. The True Adventures of Raoul Walsh, and There's Always Tomorrow, Douglas Sirk. Thank you, Robert. Taylor writes, Doctor Strange, My Favorite Year, The Asphalt Jungle, Earth versus the Flying Saucers, Baby Snakes, and Andrew Blake's Secrets. Craig breaks his Ken Russell streak and chimes in with The Trial of the Chicago 7. Joe writes, Black Sunday and Death by Temptation, which is a brilliant all-black horror film. Highly recommended. Thank you, Joe. Jamie writes, I can't ever remember being turned away. Then again, I always had someone to get me in. This week, I watched Justice League Dark and the whole show. Okay. Britt writes, The Lost City. Howell writes, Spaceballs. David writes, had to sneak into Teachers after buying a ticket to another PG movie. It was not a good movie. Watch Doctor Strange this week. Yeah, I saw Teachers in the theater as well. That was 1984. I was a Nick Nolte fan and Jo Beth Williams. Those who remember Jo Beth Williams and Teachers. Yep. Moving on. Dave writes, I watched Hotel Armidus with Jodie Foster. I'd forgotten what a different kind of movie that was. Well worth watching. Gary writes, Godzilla versus the Smog Monster, Zoolander, I'm Now, The Story of Mudhoney. And for the bonus question, my parents took me to R-rated movies as a child, so I never had to sneak in. My parents did the same thing, Gary, so I didn't have to sneak in. If my parents wanted to watch something, they're like, yeah, you're coming to see this with me. And I didn't mind that. I think there was a little bit of that. That's the early stages of my film snobbery, because I got to go see films that, you know, kids were not necessarily allowed to go see. So, very cool. John writes, in 1993, at age 14, thanks for showing your age, John, I tried to attend Man's Best Friend, a terrible super dog horror film with Ally Sheedy that I used to call Budget Cujo. And he writes, in my deepest voice, 2 tickets to Man's Best Friend, please. She carded me and turned me down. You had a card at 14? My 14-year-old friend with me must have winked at her or something, because she actually sold them to him, and we got in. Let's just say the R rating lost its childhood magic that day. It was a very underwhelming experience compared to how I had built it up in my head. Very good, John. Also viewed this week, The Public Enemy, The Great O'Malley, and this movie called Brewster McCloud. Do you know it? I think I may have to revisit it someday, because I can't figure out if it stinks or if it's genius. And Erica chimes, Brewster McCloud is on HBO Max currently. I have seen Brewster McCloud. It's the film Robert Altman did after MASH, Bud Cort, Flying Apparatus, Houston Astrodome. Oh, and Rene Auberjonois turning into a bird as the film goes on. You can't forget that. That's one I need to revisit. But I understand, John. I see your concern. What I love about Altman films is if they soar, or if they're a train wreck, it's still all on Altman. It's not focus groups. It's not nobody takes it away and re-edits his work, that sort of thing. So. But yeah, I do need to revisit that one as well. I remember, if I to use a D-bag term, it's minor Altman. So there you go. Frank writes, small town Montana. I grew my first mustache at 14, first R-rated film at 13, and never ever carded. Well, thank you, small town Montana man. Thank you, Frank. Bill writes, Zero Hour. This is a film he's watched, not what he was turned away from. I now have a much bigger appreciation for Airplane. I now understand the food poisoning, Robert Stack and Lloyd Bridges' character work, all the flop sweat, and the lines sluggish like a wet sponge. And Erica chimes in, I will never, ever forget the first time I saw Zero Hour, only knowing that Airplane was, quote, vaguely based on it. It was a straight-up remake. Yeah, I've done that as well. I remember it being on TCM overnight or something like that, and yeah, was stunned that, you know, to lift, you'd have thought it was Led Zeppelin with Willie Dixon tunes, but yeah, it is straight up lines from the movie put into this, and you know, play straight from the 1950s. So yeah, good. I'm glad you got to discover that, Bill. That's always fun. Chris Lloyd. Chris writes, only time I ever got turned away when I was 16. And we bought tickets to All of Me, but went into Purple Rain instead. My, you miscreants. They came and checked the tickets, so out we went. Ow! We had already seen All of Me and loved it, so we went and watched it again. Later, I eventually caught Purple Rain and was glad I'd seen All of Me a second time instead. Ah, Chris Lloyd bringing the shade. Thank you, Chris. And by the way, the Film Yap, go check out the Film Yap, and published last week, you can read my write-up on the Kevin Costner film Fandango. It is now out on Warner Brother Classics on Blu-ray. This is a graduation weekend film tradition for me, so I'm glad I got to share that again and share the article with you. So go check out Fandango. I still like a Criterion treatment, no offense, Warner Brothers, but yeah, that film meant a lot to me, as I mentioned on previous shows. Okay. Cassandra writes, my parents wouldn't even let me attempt to see an R-rated movie before I was 18, so got nothing for you there. I love that you just answered that. We watched several more movies in our quest to see the entire MCU catalog. We're now up to having seen Iron Man 3, Second Thor, and Captain America. We also watched Spaceballs and something that came on TV right after that, but now I don't remember. These are my listeners, friends. Thank you so much. Dylan writes, only a couple of times at the Ohio Theater in Madison, Indiana. By about age 14 on, my best friend and I eventually figured out the work schedule of the lady who would always let us into any movie and made sure to go on those nights. Until we were of age, I would not trade those traumatic movie moments for anything. Way to go, Danny Ocean, trying to figure out the lady's schedule. Wow. Mallory writes, I never tried to see an R-rated movie in theaters when I was a kid, but I will say the first R-rated movie I saw in theaters when I became of age was The King's Speech, because I was a cool teen. Thank you, Mallory. I'm with you there. That's a different topic, and I think we've done that. Well, it's been a long, long time since we've covered that topic. Alan writes, got a DVD copy of Diva from the public library. 40 years from the first viewing, it is still fresh and thrilling fun. Thank you, Alan. I'm with you on that. I remember renting Diva because I remember Siskel and Ebert raving about it in the cool motorcycle chase in the subway. I'm going to add that to the list. And never forget, friends, hopefully your public library has quite a good video selection, better than some video stores if there were any more. Linda writes, I'm old. I love Peter Lorre. Nothing wrong with that. And the Reavers. Mike Perry writes, never been turned away from an R-rated movie. Well, that's because, Mike, you were born 40, all right? And, of course, Mike was always – he's been a frequent guest here. I miss Mike. I got to get him back on the show and talk more Hollywood Nights. I've always looked mature for my age. Yeah, that's the crack. Saw Doctor Strange. Great use of 3D. The kind of eye candy that makes you wish you had dropped acid before seeing. I'm at work, Mike, not answering that. Moving on. Sam Watermeyer. He says, yep, from the 40-year-old virgin at Regal in Carmel. There was a cop at the theater. Really weird. I was 14, but my brother was 18, so we were able to buy the tickets, but the cop wouldn't let us in. We had to see The Skeleton Key instead, which is messed up now that I think about it. I was technically accompanied by a legal adult. Yeah, Sam, that's weird. I know. You know, it's a parent or adult guardian, so it's the S.E. Hinton novel text. I know. Terry writes, no, as things turned out, I never had to endure the feeling of getting turned away from trying to see an R-rated movie as a kid. Well, good on you, Terry. The only feature film I watched this past week was The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. Thank you. Jolene writes, tried to get in the Chevy van when I was about 14 and watched The Big Sleep this week. Yes, Jolene, but which version of The Big Sleep? Judy writes, Mike and I were turned down for Midnight Cowboy because we had a six-week-old in arms. Don't be those parents. Come on, Judy. At that time, Midnight Cowboy was rated X. That's right, the only X-rated film to win Best Picture. And then she writes, I love these two. Mike will have to give you the movies we've seen this week. Okay, first off, Judy, don't be the parents that bring a six-month-old to a movie, a six-week-old to a movie. Don't be those parents. Please. I mean, your kids are older now, but come on. I'm sorry. Sorry, not sorry on that one. So that's Judy's post. The very next post is her husband, Michael, who writes Thieves Like Us, Brain Twisters, The Head, The Daytime Ended, The Eyes Behind the Stars, and The Bat. Spencer writes, funny you should know, I know you're a fan of The Hollywood Nights. Yes, We checked the paper, went across town, and saw it. Thank you, Spencer. Kurt writes, I couldn't go see MASH. All right. Keith writes, Wrath of Man, The Bank Job, Schindler's List, Apollo 13, and Elizabeth the Golden Age. Michelle writes, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. We were able to sneak in the exit, but I don't remember how. Been rewatching the X-Men movies in order, all of them up to Logan. And finally, Carrie writes, seriously, forged a, quote, note from my mom, the theater actually allowed this, to go see Purple Rain. Six of us did this, and we were not caught until we came clean as adults. So much studying this week to watch movies, but we did finish Our Flag Means Death. Wow, thank you, Carrie. And thank you, everybody. That was fun. Fun stories there. Y'all are brave. I couldn't muster the nerve to buy a ticket and go into another theater. Are you mad? But yeah, those are the ones. But yeah, I only got really rejected one time. And then, yeah, like a few others, you just reach a certain age and you find the right person. So thank you for sharing, friends. Hope you got some inspiration and hopefully you watch some films that are good, that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. Thanks for listening. We'll try this again next week. You're listening to the Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!